On the 12th and 13th, the discussions wandered. What was our objective? Who was the enemy? Was our reaction to be a war on terrorism in general, or Al-Qaeda in specific? If it was all terrorism, would we fight? Did we have to attack anti-government forces in Colombia's jungles, too? Gradually, the obvious prevailed. We would go to war with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. The compromise consensus, however, was that the struggle against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban would be the first stage in a broader war on terrorism. It was also clear that there would be a second stage. Most Americans had never heard of Al-Qaeda. Indeed, most senior officials in the administration did not know the term when we briefed them in January 2001. I found a moment without meetings and sat at my computer and began writing. Who did this? Why do they hate us? How will we respond? What can you as an American do to help? It all came out in a stream of pages. I wrote of Al-Qaeda's hatred of freedom, of its perversion of a beautiful religion, of the need to avoid religious or ethnic prejudice. Thinking it might be helpful, I sent it to John Gibson in speech writing. Meanwhile, Roger Cressy and I dusted off the draft National Security Presidential Directive on Al-Qaeda, authorizing aid to the Northern Alliance in Afghanistan. Joined by Lisa Gordon Haggerty, we also began to list the major domestic vulnerabilities to further terrorist attacks and to task the departments to start plugging the holes. Trains with hazmat, hazardous material, were diverted from major cities. Crop dusters were grounded until they could be tracked and we could be sure terrorists weren't filling them with biological agents. Special security teams were sent to protect telecommunications hubs, chemical plants, and nuclear reactors. George Tenet and Kofor Black, the counterterrorism chief at CIA, were off and running, demanding action from friendly intelligence services and preparing at last to send CIA officers into Afghanistan. Colin Powell and Rich Armitage were turning Pakistan around from half-hearted support of the U.S. campaign against Al-Qaeda to full cooperation. Later, on the evening of the 12th, I left the video conferencing center, and there, wandering alone around the Situation Room, was the president. He looked like he wanted something to do. He grabbed a few of us and closed the door to the conference room. "Look," he told us, "I know you have a lot to do and all, but I want you, as soon as you can, to go back over everything, everything. See if Saddam did this. See if he's linked in any way." I was once again taken aback, incredulous, and it showed. "But Mr. President, Al-Qaeda did this." "I know, I know. But see if Saddam was involved. Just look, I want to know, any shred." "Absolutely," I said. "We will look. Again." I was trying to be more respectful, more responsive. "But you know, we have looked several times for state sponsorship of Al-Qaeda and not found any real linkages to Iraq. Iran plays a little, as does Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia. Yemen. Look into Iraq. Saddam," the president said testily, and left us. Lisa Gordon Haggerty stared after him with her mouth hanging open. Paul Kurtz walked in, passing the president on the way out. Seeing our expressions, he asked, "Geez, what just happened here?" "Wolfowitz got to him," Lisa said, shaking her head. "No," I said. "Look, he's the president. He's not spent years on terrorism. He has every right to ask us to look again, and we will." Paul was the most open-minded person on the staff, so I asked him to lead the special project to get the departments and agencies to once again look for a bin Laden link to Saddam Hussein. He chaired a meeting the next day to develop an official position on the relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. All agencies and departments agreed there was no cooperation between the two. A memorandum to that effect was sent up to the president, but there was never any indication that it reached him. The next week, President Bush addressed a joint session of Congress in the most eloquent speech of his career. Gone was any tentativeness or awkwardness as a speaker. Karen Hughes had drafted the text personally on her old typewriter. It included my questions and some of my answers. Who is the enemy? Why do they hate us?